So, no shortage of material in today's verses. I think there's 3 pages of purport. But it's wonderful. It's to keep track of what's happened now, of these questions and answers between Dharma and the cow, of what's happened to them. And they said it's very hard to understand what's happening. It could be like this, it could be like that. There's so many things influencing us. So they don't want to point a finger somehow that this is the cause. It's not me. It's like this. This is happening. And so what we have here is a full explanation that that the Lord has left the planet. Kali has moved in. It's like the apartment's now vacant for Kali to move in. It's preordained. It's divine providence. Age of Kali comes, the Iron Age. Very frightening age. And we can see that this planet, other planets, whoever go through this particular age, that their lives, unless they understand the Dharma of the soul, they'll be in fear. Their whole lives will be dependent on their body, which fails in the end, and the knowledge of this world and its materialism, which is a very lonely place to be, with no hope, unless they're given this wonderful mercy. But what I'll do, I'd like to read it if I can find it. It's in this, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Bhagavad is ethics. And he talks about, like we were talking about yesterday, he says, this Bhagavad, therefore, allows us to call on the Vyasa, Narada, Shakti of Vaisa avatars, of the infinite energy of the Lord. And the spirit of this text goes far to honor all great reformers and teachers who lived and will live in other countries. The Vaishnav is ready to honor all the great men without distinction of caste, because they are filled with the energy of God. See how universal this religion of Bhagavat. It is not intended for a certain class of Hindus alone, but it is a gift at large for whatever country born, whatever society bred. In short, Vaishnavism is the absolute love, binding all men together into the infinite, unconditional, and absolute God. May its peace reign forever in this universe. And then he says, the continual development of its purity by the exertion of future heroes who will be blessed in accordance with the promise of the Bhagavad with powers from the Almighty Father and the Creator and the Preserver and Annihilator of everything. So he's saying that they're future heroes. And we found out about Prabhupada yesterday. He was one of these future heroes. He's predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They see in the future these great souls. They have that power. They have that power, but it's by the grace of the super soul that they're given this understanding. So if you chant after me, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Manchakopatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanabheo vaishnavabheo namo namaha. So we have very short time, such long purports. But actually, I'm not going to abbreviate it really in any way. There's so much there actually. But whatever we can get within the time, I want to absorb it as a meditation actually. Because it's telling you about the different aspects about that the power of Krishna had over this world when he was here and what had been lost, but also the variation in how Krishna approaches us. Very, very wonderful text. And if you get the chance to read all the text, you'll find it's a perfect meditation of the different approaches of the Lord to the living entities in this world. So what I'll do, I'll chant the first three verses, then we'll chant together the last verse, which is on the board. So it's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, texts 26 to 30. Satyam Sochyam Daya Shanti Tiaga Santosha Ardhyavam. Sorry, light's on, okay. Janam Virakthir Aishvaryam Sochyam Tejo Balam Smriti Svatatyam Kushalam Shanti Daryam Madhavam Nivacha Pragayam prasipaya silam saha ojo balam bhagaha gambiram staryam atstikyam kritir mano nahant kritibi kriti ete chanye cha bhagavan nitya yantra mahagunahe Pratyata mahatvam ichabhihi nacha naviyanti sma kahichit. Now today's verse. So, translation and purport. In him reside truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance of others' unhappiness, the power to control anger, self-satisfaction, straightforwardness, steadiness of mind, control of the sense organs, responsibility, equality, tolerance, equanimity, faithfulness, knowledge, absence of sense enjoyment, leadership, chivalry, influence, the power to make everything possible, the discharge of proper duty, complete independence, dexterity, fullness of all beauty, serenity, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, magnanimity, determination, perfection of all in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, joyfulness, immovability, fidelity, fame, worship, pridelessness, being the personality of Godhead, eternity, and many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never to be separated from him, the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty. Lord Krishna has now closed his transcendental pastimes on the face of the earth. In his absence, in the age of Kali, has spread its influence everywhere. And so I am sorry to see this condition of existence. So that's some reply, isn't it? It's a very powerful statement. But they're missing Krishna. And when you have somebody who's perfect and complete in all ways, especially with these qualities, kindness, chivalry, you know, leadership, beautiful, truthfulness, cleanliness, that it's a cry from the heart, actually, from Dharma and the cow, the Bhumi Devi, that they're crying, they're missing Krishna, and they remember his influence on them. And but now Kali has come, and so I'm sorry to see this condition of ignorance. So Prabhupada's purport, he explains very wonderfully. Even if it were possible to count the atoms after smashing the earth into powder, still it would not be possible to estimate the unfathomable qualities of the Lord. It is said that Lord Anantadev has tried to expound the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord with his numberless tongues, and that for the numberless years together it has been impossible to estimate the qualities of the Lord. The above statement of the qualities of the Lord is just to estimate his qualities as far as the human being is able to see him. But even if it is so, the above qualities can be divided into many subheadings. According to Jiva Goswami, the third quality, intolerance of others' unhappiness, can be subdivided into 1, protection of the surrendered souls, well wishes for the devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord states that he wants every soul to surrender to him only. And he assures that if one does so, he will give protection from the reaction of all sins. Unsurrendered souls are not devotees of the Lord, and thus there is no particular protection for anyone in or everyone in general. For the devotees have all good wishes, and for those who are actually engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, he gives particular attention. He gives direction to such pure devotees to help them discharge their responsibilities on the path to Godhead. By equality, the Lord is equally kind to everyone, as the sun is equal in distributing the rays over everyone. Yet, there are many who are unable to take advantage of the sun's rays. Similarly, the Lord says, surrendering unto him is the guarantee of all protection from him. But unfortunate persons are unable to accept this proposition, and they therefore suffer from all material miseries. So even though the Lord is equally well-wishing to everyone, the unfortunate living being, due to his bad association only, is unable to accept his instructions in toto. And for this, the Lord is never to be blamed. He is called the well-wisher for the devotees only. He appears to be partial to his devotees, but factually, the matter rests on the living being to accept or reject equal treatment of the Lord. That's a very wonderful statement. And the matter lies in the reference that to accept or reject the equal treatment of the Lord. And so we can, if we're not careful, that's in our heart, isn't it? You know, how we can accept what's happening to us. Because the Lord is what's happening to us here. Everything that we do is from the Lord. And so the Lord never deviates from his word of honor. When he gives assurance for protection, the promise executed in all is executed in all circumstances. It is the duty of the proper pure devotee to be fixed in the discharge of the duty entrusted to him by the Lord and the Lord's bona fide representative, the spiritual master. The rest is carried on by the Lord without a break. So that's interesting too. He says it is the duty of the Lord, of the pure devotee, to be fixed in the discharge of his duty entrusted to him by the Lord and the Lord's bona fide representative, the spiritual master. So we've been given a special responsibility. It's entrusted to us. He's giving us a special responsibility. So we've got to do it nicely for his bona fide representative, which could be anybody in this temple. The cook's teaching you to cook, you know. He's the representative of the Lord. But or the spiritual master. Spiritual master says, look, help this temple do what the authorities ask you to do, he says. The rest is carried on by the rest of the rest is carried on by the Lord without a break. He doesn't have a break. He's constantly supporting the devotee. He has no rest. He carries on. And so sometimes we say, oh, when's my day off? But there is no day off. Not really. Not in Krishna consciousness. When you get down to it, you know, it's always creeping up on us. There's something to do. There's somebody to help, assist, and serve in some way. The responsibility of the Lord is also unique. The Lord has no responsibility because his work is all done by different appointed energies. But still he accepts voluntary responsibility in displaying different roles in his transcendental pastimes. As a boy, he was playing the part of a cowboy. As the son of Nanda Maharaj, he discharged this responsibility perfectly. Similarly, when he was playing the part of a Kshatriya as the son of Maharaj Vasudeva, he displayed the skill of a martially spirited Kshatriya. In all cases, the Kshatriya king has to be secure has to secure a wife by fighting and kidnapping. This sort of behavior for a Kshatriya is praiseworthy, is in a sense that a Kshatriya must show his power of chivalry to his would-be wife so that the daughter of the Kshatriya can see that the valor of her would-be husband. Even the personality of Godhead Sri Ram displayed such a spirit of chivalry during his marriage. He broke the strongest bow called Haradhanur, and achieve the hand of Sita Devi, the mother of opulence. The Kshatriya spirit is displayed during the marriage festivals, and there is nothing wrong with such fighting. Lord Krishna discharged such responsibility fully, although he had more than 16,000 wives. In each and every case, he fought like a chivalrous Kshatriya and thus secured a wife when he rescued them, because he didn't want them to be put out on the streets of their family. They'd been captured by this, you know, this king who felt that they belonged to him, you know. So to fight 16,000 times to secure 16,000 wives is certainly possible only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, he displayed full responsibility in every action of his different transcendental pastimes. So the Lord, he accepts responsibility too, though he doesn't have to. He can delegate, he can stop, he can change anything, just the mere, his willing. But he doesn't. We have to find out what he wants us to do as well. There's still, you know, that time when he had Arjuna had to kill Ashwatthama. He had to use somehow, he had to satisfy everyone by killing Ashwatthama in different ways. So, and he left that one up to Arjuna. And it was a fascinating pastime. So here, the 14th quality, knowledge, probably this is the last bit. The 14th quality, knowledge, can be further extended into five subheadings: intelligence, gratefulness, power of understanding of the circumstantial, environmental place, object and time, perfect knowledge of everything, and knowledge of the self. Only fools are ungrateful to their benefactors. The Lord, however, does not acquire benefit from anyone besides himself, because he's full in himself. Still, he feels benefited by the unalloyed services of his devotees. The Lord feels grateful to his devotees for such unsophisticated, unconditional service, and tries to reciprocate it by rendering service. Although the devotee has no such desire in his heart, the transcendental service of the Lord itself a transcendental benefit for the devotee, and therefore the devotee has nothing to expect from the Lord. On the assertion of Vedic aphorism, Sarvam Kave Idam Brahma, we can understand that the Lord, by the omnipresent rays of these fulgence called the Brahma Jyoti, it's all pervading inside and outside of everything, like the omnipresent material sky. And thus, he is omniscient. So, this is a very wonderful part too, actually, that although the devotee has no such desire for the Lord to reciprocate, the transcendental service of the Lord is itself a transcendental benefit of the Lord. And he says, it's like the gopis. He said, I can't repay you, so please, just let your service, whatever you can do, be your satisfaction. And that's what we should be feeling in such a way, that let this service that we manage to do be our satisfaction. It's the service. It's no different from the Lord. And he's with you if you do your service. But if we don't do service to him, he's not with us. He can't be, because we haven't attached it to him. So we do service to the Lord in such a way that it's for Him, and it's mercy. It's actually the Lord who's with me, giving me this service. And that's why we stay with it. The Lord stays with us constantly. He's never apart from us. And so whatever we do now, we know that Krishna's always with us. And so what he says, don't worry. You know, surrender yourself to what you've been given as best you can. So I think I better finish there. So, and of course, there's another 3 pages, I think, purport. But it goes, it elaborates even more in how the Lord is somehow trying to reciprocate with us in any way he can. He's trying to get to us. And he wants to reciprocate because that's his fun and his enjoyment. He likes to help his devotees. It's a great pleasure for him. And so let's give him pleasure by letting him help us. And that's the thing. Let him help us. Yeah. Okay, so comments, questions? Yeah.
A short question. What does it really mean to render service to Krishna? You're doing having tasks here, but, you know, but what does it mean?
What does it mean to you?
So the question is...
Sorry to bounce it back on you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So the question was for the people on online, how we really know that we are doing service when we get some service. I mean, I'm trying to meditate for who am I doing this. Like, it's not like, you know, just do it so you can finish it, but actually this is something that is pleasing the Lord, and actually I'm doing this for Him, and he doesn't need it, but he allows me and he wants to have this reciprocation. So of course this meditation doesn't last long, unfortunately, but I mean, I'm just trying to see, like,
the mind is the tricky customer.
Yeah, the mind's like, hey, look at this.
Yes, so Prabhupada says in his Symptoms of Surrender to Krishna, let me come absorbed in such service, no matter what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten, and your only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure. And that's his words. Let me become absorbed. Let all other considerations be forgotten. There's so many things whizzing about. You know, flies going round in front of our eyes and stuff like that. You know, before you know it, you've forgotten what you're doing just because of a fly's whizz by your eyes. You know, you know, you're gone. So absorption is the main thing. And don't worry, whatever you're doing is meant to be. You know, oh, it's not, I shouldn't be doing this. You should be, because Krishna says so. Prabhupada says so. And so you answered it. Yes, you just try and focus as best you can. And by practice, what is it Krishna says? You know, by practice, he says, the mind's turbulent, isn't it? But he says, by practice and detachment. In other words, you don't want the result. You're not looking for this, achieving this, what do they say, nirvana, samadhi. It's not like that. It's absorption in what you're doing. Don't be fruitive in your activities. Let that go away. Just do it. You don't have to worry. Let the worry be Krishna's. He likes that bit. He carries that. He carries what we lack. So if you sort of answered your own question, but, you know, there's just a little bit that Prabhupada can help us with. Yeah. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to share a reflection on what Roberto Prabhu was asking. I think my meditation has been that as much as there are services in the temple that we love to do, Krishna may not immediately position us in those services. And the reason why is because, particularly for me, I find that in every services that we do, in any situation that you know, we've been put, there's qualities that we can develop within those services. And those qualities will actually help us. It'll be our safety net when we're actually doing what we like to do. Because when we're just purely doing what we like to do, there's always a possibility of pride and possibility of all these unwanted emotions and desires that comes in. So it's all purification, really. And it's just our mentality that we need to change.
Yeah, it's true. So you've answered the point yourself. Yeah, it's we have to change our attitude to whatever we've got. And, it, you know, at the end of the day, if it's service, it's that's it. That's the most wonderful thing. It's given to you and it's not by chance. Nothing's by chance. And if you want to take it up, you know, I was just thinking about Sam there. He's taking on such a service over this festival time. And it's like, I don't know if you've been left holding a baby sometimes, or you think you've been left holding a baby. Oh my God, what do I do with this baby? But it's like a baby it needs looking after, isn't it? And so he says that he never rests helping you. He never has a break. And you find that actually when we have a break, what do with it? So I remember Sutapa saying, we space out if we're not careful. It's very easy to do. We just lose that time. And so Krishna gives you what you want, but then, what happened there? What was I doing? You know, so be careful what you desire. Just go with the flow, I think is the expression. What Krishna gives you each day, that's certainly real life. Okay. Mataji's, any question? Comment? Okay, I think we'd better finish here for breakfast. Thank you for your kind attention and patience.